Hey everybody, welcome again to F This Movie, the official podcast of FThisMovie.net, movie love for movie lovers. Speaking of movie lovers, my name is Patrick Bromley and I'm a movie lover. I kind of fucked that a little bit. Movie love for movie lovers. My name is Patrick Bromley and I'm very excited because after too long of an absence away, back to do the next installment in our ongoing Bond series is everyone's third favorite Bond, Mr. Mike Pomero.
Hey, everybody.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Who are the two Bonds that are ahead of you in the polls?
Like F This Movie Bonds or just...
Just in general. Like, if you're the third favorite Bond, who are the two in front?
I would say, well, Timothy Dalton in this basement.
Yes.
And Jinx.
Jinx?
She's not a Bond, but...
And yet,
I wanted that spin-off.
And yet, ranking ahead of you,
yeah.
And I feel like that's wrong. Try this orange bikini on, and I feel like we can definitely get you to number two.
I appreciate that.
I'm willing to do it. We're going to be talking about The Man with the Golden Gun. We have been going through and talking about different Bond movies. It's going to take us at least 15 years to get through them all, especially because they keep making them. Stop, guys, and let us catch up. Just kidding. Please. Spectre looks good. So what we've been doing thus far in the Bond series is we've been talking about everybody's first Bond. So technically next up would be either Dr. No or On Her Majesty's Secret Service.
Which is what I think we were going to do.
We were
going to
do On Her Majesty's Secret Service, and I like that one. But Christopher Lee died, and I was like, weeks ago the man died. And I was like, hey, we should do Man with the Golden Gun in honor of Christopher Lee's passing. And then Mike was like, I'm out of here, man.
I gotta go to Comic-Con. I got these... badges.
And I was like, okay, yeah, how about when we get back?
You're like, I gotta talk about Comic-Con.
No.
I don't sound anything like that.
We haven't had a chance to talk to do the show yet, but here we are now tonight. Very exciting. Going to talk about The Man with the Golden Gun. We're going to talk about what we've seen lately first. Even before we do that, we have some housekeeping stuff to get through. I want to point out that neither Mike or myself are drinkers by nature, and yep. Yet for some reason tonight we've both decided to be drinking beer, which is only maybe the third time this has happened on the podcast, so I'm hoping we get really fucked up and say weird things about Man with the Golden Gun. If nothing else, I'll show you my third nipple.
It's the Friday the 13th part 7 of this series.
So if you've never heard the show, welcome and thanks for tuning in. You can find our website at fthismovie.net. We publish a podcast every week and articles every day, reviews, lists, things going on. I will give the rest of the contact information at the end of the show. Like I said, we're going to talk about what we've seen lately, but first there's a couple things that I want to get out of the way. First up, I want to talk about, I'm on the week that this show comes out, I will also be a guest on the Projection Booth podcast.
Nice.
If you are a film podcast fan, chances are you are already familiar with that podcast because they're huge and they have made quite a name for themselves by doing insane amounts of research and work. And they devote so much time into conducting interviews and editing shows. They recently did a 7-hour podcast on Conan the Barbarian. I'm sure you heard about it. So I was a guest on there. I've been on a few times, and they're always so nice to me. This week, I'm on there to talk about Solar Babies, a terrible movie from 1986 that apparently is my fault.
Yeah.
The last time I was on... somehow Solar Babies came up, and I was like, oh, if you guys ever do a Solar Babies show, you gotta have me on. And they were like, yeah, okay.
To be fair, when does it not come up?
They took me seriously and asked me to be on the Solar Babies show. So we start doing the podcast, and they're kind of like, why are we doing this? This was your idea. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, guys. I did not know that I was going to make you watch and talk about Solar Babies. Anyway, but you should check out that show and check out all of their shows because they do an incredible job. Also, our friend Phil Blade, we've talked about his movie before. He has a movie that's coming out on DVD called Geek USA. Doug and I have talked about it before. They have an Indiegogo campaign right now for their pre-sale special perks and limited edition DVDs and soundtracks and posters and stuff. We actually have a little banner, ad, whatever you want to call it, on our site, fthismovie.net. If you go there, you can scroll down, click through that, and you can pre-order the movie and help them meet their goal. And one other thing, if you live in or near Chicago on August 11th, I will be introducing The Breakfast Club at the Elk Grove Cinema in Elk Grove Village, Illinois at 1 p.m. and 7 p.m., and then hosting a little Q&A afterwards where I will be reenacting the movie and playing all of the parts. And you haven't lived till you've seen me apply lipstick by putting it between my boobs. So please do come out. We're trying to pack the place. Those showings are a lot of fun. I just went to one for Back to the Future about 3 weeks ago, and it was amazing. So everyone should come out.
Absolutely.
And then the only other thing I want to talk about was Comic-Con. And I know that we're a little out of date now because it was a few weeks ago. But Mike, you were there.
I was there.
And I cannot wait to hear your report. In the past, we've covered this extensively.
Yeah, so I'll be...
You guys shot video.
Yes.
You came back. You told stories on the podcast.
Unfortunately, Adam was not with me this time.
No.
But I got to go with my wife, Christy, which was exciting for me.
Okay.
And our mutual...
Fine, but...
And our mutual friend, Nancy.
Okay, yes, good.
So I got to do...
Less fine, but go ahead.
I'll skip all the TV stuff, because this isn't a TV podcast.
No, that's the stuff I want to talk about. Oh. I was almost going to talk about books. I was almost going to tell everyone to read a book by Toby Hooper.
But I... Let me think. I didn't get into any... Okay, I didn't get into the Star Wars panel like I wanted. This is going to be a list of stuff I didn't get into, because I didn't want to camp out overnight.
When did you... I'm 36 years old. They changed the system this year, right?
No.
Oh, I thought they did.
No, well,
you had to get a wristband or something?
Yeah, there's a wristband, but people are still camping out starting the day
before. To get the wristband.
Correct.
Got it. So it actually solved nothing.
No, it just... I think... I believe
what, two lines instead of
no, I believe what it did is it let you know...
Okay, I have no shot.
Well, yes.
Got it. So you would line up for the wristband, waste a bunch of hours, but then if you didn't get it, you have your day free.
Correct.
Got it.
So what, and then, so that was Friday. Saturday was like Warner Brothers and Fox, but also The Hateful Eight, which I really, in Hall H, the big room, was one I really wanted to go to. But again, Friday I saw on Twitter that people had already started lining up for the next day's panel, so I didn't do it, only to find out the next day that people started lining up the night before, but nowhere near the crowd that I expected, because people were showing up like 8 a.m.
right
the following day and getting in to Hall H, which was a huge bummer. However, what I did do was I dragged my wife to there's all these outside Comic-Con things that happen. And one of them is run by Zachary Levi called Nerd HQ, where he does these, they call them conversations for a cause. So they're sort of like panels, but they're, you actually can pay and get a ticket, which is nice. Most of, you know, it's a lot of like Doctor Who or Joss Whedon, and those sell out right away. But I was able to get us tickets to, M. Night Shyamalan and Jason Blum for, The Visit.
Okay. So that was something you paid for?
Yeah.
Okay.
It sure was. Because I'm absolutely fascinated by Shyamalan.
Sure.
You know this, like, just the twists and turns his career has taken. It was fan-fucking-tastic.
Okay.
I can't, because I really felt bad.
For him?
Well, for my wife.
Oh.
That I dragged her. But he was smart and...
She's a big Lady in the Water really fan, funny. Though, right?
More Avatar. Couldn't think of it quick enough. So that was really great. And then we also got passes to see The Visit that night.
Oh.
So, which doesn't come out until, I believe, September.
Well, look at you.
But we got to go.
Let's get a little early word.
I enjoyed
this movie exclusive.
I enjoyed the hell out of it.
Okay.
I thought it was so, I mean, it's the first Shyamalan movie I've liked since Unbreakable.
Okay.
No. I like Signs.
Yeah. Is it found footage?
Okay. See, I asked Mr. Shyamalan that very question.
Excuse me, Mr. Knight.
And one of, you know, one of the characters, it's about this brother and sister who go to visit their grandparents for the week, and their grandparents aren't what they seem to be. Well, the girl is a like budding film student. So the premise is
you can't hear me rolling my eyes on the podcast, everyone, but Mike can see it.
It's good. She wants to make a documentary about this visit. So it allowed him the opportunity to compose shots. Like, but Blum was all over me about, like, this is not found footage.
Isn't that amazing, though, that it's become like a dirty word?
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Meanwhile, Blum, practically is the one perpetuating right. the whole found footage thing, right?
But it was cinematic and
all right.
Yeah, it was funny. You know, and it admittedly, maybe some of it was just the atmosphere,
of
like
course,
it played
yeah.
so well and right. everyone's just excited to be there.
Of course.
But no, it was like I don't want to give too much away, but it was a ton of fun.
All right, cool.
Like I liked it a lot.
I'm looking forward to it now. And I wasn't before.
And the other big thing for me at Comic-Con was I finally got to meet Guillermo del Toro.
That is a big thing.
It was super big for me. And he's been my white whale because the last two times I've gone...
It's not very nice. It's not a nice thing to say.
I've tried and have not been able to meet him. This time, I literally couldn't avoid him. I got to do a couple signings. I was lucky enough to be able to do that. Couldn't get into the Crimson Peak panel, but I saw the Strain panel.
Are you watching the Strain?
I do.
Is it good?
No.
All right. I'm all right then.
We had purchased tickets for the Nerdist podcast. They do two podcasts, and you know, I got tickets before we knew who the guests were. And for the second show, it was two of the guests were Guillermo del Toro and Tom Hiddleston. So yeah, I couldn't escape them. And then so the con ends on Sunday at 5 o'clock. Friends of ours picked us up at 6 to take a stand in Outburger, which is like 15 minutes away. And who was there but Guillermo del Toro? And he said, "Hey, I've seen you all the weekend."
Oh my gosh.
It was the greatest moment.
Recognized by GDT.
Right. So that was the highlight of mine.
Did you tell him about Hellboy 2?
No. Adam asked me the same thing. He's like, "Did you tell him you hated Hellboy 2? No, I did not.
Mike doesn't hate Hellboy 2.
No,
ever.
I love Hellboy exactly. 2, everybody, but I may have mentioned on a podcast.
That was his turnaround movie.
Yes.
I've never had one of those.
So yeah, those were the movie related highlights.
Okay. Any non movie related highlights?
Yeah. You know how I shouldn't even bring this up, but you know how I've told you like I don't listen to I won't listen to this podcast.
Right.
I don't listen to anything with me on it.
Okay. That's probably you're doing the right thing.
Well, I absolutely am, and that was confirmed because I saw anybody who knows me knows I'm kind of obsessed with Game of Thrones and Song of Ice and Fire, the books. And much of the cast was there. Couldn't get into the panel. Couldn't get into the signings. But when they ushered, after the signing, they ushered the cast away. And this is the one nerdy thing that my wife and I share. So she was able to smooth talk one of the security guards to let us just stand off to the side. But basically, they crossed right in front of us. So... you know, here's Sophie Turner, who's Sansa, and Maisie Williams, who's Arya. Who I was excited about was Liam Cunningham, who plays Davos, who is who is legit one of my favorite characters, not only in the book, but on the TV show. I was super excited. So, you know, and I'm taking a video of them as they go by. So in my head, I just was like, "Hey, Davos, you know, hey, Liam, big fan." And he just sort of gave me a fist bump, and that was cool. So Nancy comes by a little later, and we tell her that we saw the cast of Game of Thrones, and she has to see the video. And on the video is what I actually say, and it is and it's on my phone, and I can't. It tortures me because I can't bring myself to get rid of it, but I can't. I say as he goes by, I swear to God, and I know this word for word. You'd be proud of Christy and Nancy because they have watched it a million times and have not let me forget it. He goes by, I swear word for. I won't do it the way I did it. But as he walks by, I yell out, "Liam, you're the man, man. I love you, Davos." And when he gives me the fist bump, I yell out, "Woo-hoo-hoo!" And it is clear as fucking day on this goddamn video. So I listen to it. I'm like, oh, my head exploded. I'm like, I hate me. I am the worst. Liam, you're the man, man.
You're the man, man.
I love you, Davos. I would just, woohoo! So it's maybe I'll show you later. So yeah.
That is outstanding. It was a good experience overall.
Yeah, no, it was a lot of fun. I feel like.
Do you want to go back?
This is the first time I've left Comic-Con thinking I would go back.
Okay, what accounts for the difference?
The first time I went, I didn't know what to expect. So super overwhelming.
Right.
I didn't realize how much was going on that I was unaware of. So when we went back the second time, I thought, all right, I'm going to do my homework and I'm going to know about everything going on, only to find out that doesn't matter. Like you can't, it's impossible to do everything you want to do.
Okay.
So that was exhausting and a little deflating, as you can see in a lot of the videos on the website. So this time I just still did the research to find out what was going on, but just sort of set like a goal. Said like, I want to meet Guillermo del Toro, and anything else is just icing on the cake. And
next year you should set a goal, because clearly that worked out for you,
right?
Like tenfold. So be like, I want to meet the cast of Game of Thrones and make $1 million, and you'll come back with all kinds of. You're the man, man.
You're the man, man. I love you, Davos. I'm the fucking worst.
All right, you got to choose.
Yeah.
Liam Cunningham,
mm-hmm,
or Evangeline Lilly.
Oh, Liam. Like, it's not even close.
You did not pause one
second. No.
That's amazing. Did you do anything, like, was there even anything Peter Jackson, Lord of the Rings related?
No, I mean, the Weta booth was there.
It was. And you just, like, walked by it like a girlfriend you don't talk to anymore.
I went over there, you know.
On your way to the Game of Thrones booth.
Like, I wish there was a Game of Thrones
booth. We're done. Oh my gosh!
No, so yeah, not a lot of Weta this year. But
no,
again, there was no.
Were they handing out just apologies for the Hobbit trilogy?
No, they've shifted their focus to a lot of like Warcraft.
Oh,
stuff.
Good. I don't care about that at all.
Some Krampus. I think they did some Krampus.
Which Krampus movie? Because there are 11
the Mike
coming
Doherty
out. Okay, got it. One. I think that's the one I'm most excited about.
Yeah, Mike Doherty, Adam Scott.
Sure. Yeah. Whatever. I like Trick or Treat.
Yeah.
You know.
Exactly.
So, all right. So, you saw The Visit.
Yes.
Have you seen anything else good lately?
Just on the heels of that, I decided to go through Guillermo's filmography.
Naturally.
Again.
Now that you guys are friends.
Right. I haven't got... I'm up to...
Guillermo. You're the man, man.
I love you, GDT. why'd I bring that up?
By the way, you didn't just bring it up to me. You brought it up on this podcast.
No, I know. At least I'm not playing it.
But our listeners are wonderful, and they don't forget anything.
No, I know. I can't wait for these memes.
Every time we do, like, a make-your-own meme, half of them are like Friday the 13th Part 7.
Exactly. Something else to make fun of me for. So
you went through GDT.
All right, yeah. Well, I've started. I'll give bullet points. I started with Kronos.
Right.
Have you seen Kronos?
No.
It's good. It feels very much like a first film, but it's fun in that, like, the way Who's That Knocking at My Door?
Right.
Fun. Like, you can, you know, it's not great, but you could see Scorsese in it. It's very much the same way.
Okay.
Mimic, which I probably hadn't, I don't know if I've seen it since the theater.
I haven't either.
I remember.
And I've had the director's cut for years and have not watched it.
See, that's what I'm going to bring up, because I remember Ebert giving it a positive review and being excited by that and not necessarily agreeing with him. So I watched the director's cut, and it's not great, but the commentary, and he always does really good commentaries, is really good, because I think in the beginning he says something like, I'm going to talk as honestly as I legally can about, you know, sort of what went wrong and what I wanted to do, and it's fascinating. So even if you're not a huge fan of the film, it's not, to me, it's worth it for the commentary. Devil's Backbone.
I've seen that.
That's beautiful. Are you a fan of that?
Yeah. Not as much as some of his other movies.
I really like that. I remember the first time I saw it being, as I was, like, with Hellboy 2, but being disappointed. But I think it was because I thought, I didn't really know Guillermo's work very well. Yeah. And I would just thought it was supposed to be, it was at least marketed to me by either, I don't know, a friend or something, that it was a scary movie, and it's really not. It's, you know, well, now that I know his work, you know, he usually sides with the monster.
Scary if you lived through it.
Right, exactly. But the more I see it, the more I love that movie.
Well, and then, you can draw, like, a total straight line between that and Pan's Labyrinth.
Yeah, well, and he says that they're, he considers them, like, you know, yeah, like the sister piece, however.
Yeah, no, sisters. Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Sisters.
Sister movies.
And then I just showed my wife Blade 2. She had never seen it.
For real? She loves vampires.
She likes sexy vampires. She's
Ron
very
Perlman is.
That,
is
right?
She loves Redis. Redis is all up in that thing.
She does like Redis.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I know.
Did she like it?
She did like it, yeah.
That's the best Blade movie by a pretty significant margin.
It is so much fun. I remember seeing that with Adam and our friend Nick in the theater and walking out feeling... The way that, what the fuck is the movie? What's the Raid 2? How the Raid 2, like, I'm exhausted by the end of it.
Yeah.
I remember feeling that way about Blade 2. Not so much anymore, but it's fucking fantastic.
It's really, really good.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm at. And then Hellboy is next. So
I'll
be sure to 6 months tell you next time I'm on a podcast. My thoughts on Hellboy. But that's sort of where I'm at.
Hellboy or Hellboy 2?
Hellboy 2.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
And
too.
I like Hellboy.
Yeah.
I think it's good, but
yeah, I think Hellboy 2 is
I just read today that Ron Perlman now is saying he does not want to do Hellboy 3. He's been championing it, but he said he doesn't want to, you know, he's like, I'm gonna set the record straight. I forgot what the interview
he just doesn't want to wear the makeup again.
And then that's exactly what he said.
Yeah, like, I don't blame him. That's probably not
fun. I don't want to do that. And he's like 60 something, so
yeah.
They're running out of time, but yeah. And then I saw Avengers and barely remember that I saw Avengers. So that's
you saw it recently? Because I saw when it came out and I barely remember it. Also,
No, it took me a while.
Okay.
And so maybe a couple weeks ago. And
okay.
And I feel like I'm already fading.
Did you see Ant-Man?
No, not yet.
No. Okay. And you didn't see Mission Impossible, right?
No, but I wanted to see that.
You're gonna hate it.
Well, if it's anything like Ghost,
you hate Ghost Protes. There's a long section in the movie that actually is very reminiscent of certain elements of The Living Daylights, and I'm not just making that joke, like, for real. And okay. I was just sitting there thinking, like, between The Living Daylights and this being the sequel to Ghost Protocol, Mike's going to hate this thing.
Does anyone get killed inside a sleeping
bag? I don't think, but I don't know. One character is psychic.
That'll bring me back.
All right. I know you're big on the psychics. I got a bunch of stuff that I want to kind of tear through here. The other day, I finished my classes for the semester. I was like kind of caught up on some work, and it was the first time in a while that I didn't have to like watch something for something. I wasn't going to write a piece. I wasn't doing a podcast. I didn't owe an article to some other outlet that I'm writing for. I literally just could like watch whatever, and I had some time. So I put on Shudder. Okay. Through the Roku app and just started watching stuff that I was coming across. And I was limited by the fact that some of the movies don't have sound if you watch them apparently through the Roku app. Anything that I tried to watch that was like before 1980. Now, it could have just been coincidence that those were the ones that I picked. I couldn't watch because there was no sound. I emailed customer support. They said, we're aware of this. Hopefully we fix it with the next version.
To be fair, I've never seen a movie before 1980. Was there sound?
So I watched some stuff that I don't recommend, and I watched one movie called Rites of Spring that's kind of interesting, and I watched it mostly because AJ Bowen is in it.
Yeah,
and I like AJ Bowen because there's this thing, if you're familiar with Shudder, and I wrote a thing about it last week, but especially in the Roku app, when you first access the channel, they're just streaming movies 24/7. It's called Shudder TV, and that's free. You can't choose what movie you're going to watch, and you have to just pick it up wherever you come in, but there's always something on. So when you first pull up the channel through the Roku platform, that's what's on. And so I would see 3 minutes of whatever happened to be showing, and then I would be like, well, now I got to go find this movie. So I saw AJ Bowen like sitting on a bed talking to someone. I was like, well, I got to go find Rites of Spring, whatever that is. It was interesting, not perfect, but I would kind of recommend it. And then all weekend they were marathoning Mario Bava movies because it was his birthday.
God.
And I'm deficient in Mario Bava. Sure. I've seen the handful of like his best known stuff, Black Sun and Black Sabbath and Planet of the Vampires and Bay of Blood. So I watched Kill Baby Kill.
Okay.
Which I ended up actually really liking. It's not the kind of thing where I watch and I'm like, ooh, I understand why he's a master. I see his work. It felt more like watching a Hammer film where I was responding more to the atmosphere and the tone and the production design and all this. But that's fine. I mean, I had a good time with it. I would recommend it if you're a fan of those kinds of gothic movies from the 60s. I would recommend that. I watched sci-fi recently. I didn't see Sharknado 3 because I haven't seen Sharknado 1 and 2. Life is too short. But I did watch Lavalantula.
Mike Mendez.
Because it was Mike Mendez and I was curious about it. And I'm a fan of Big Ass Spider and of Mike Mendez. To me, this was more the movie that Big Ass Spider kind of avoided being. Big Ass Spider, I thought, does a good job of skirting right up against being a sci-fi movie, and it wasn't a sci-fi movie. And honestly, maybe that's the difference. The Big Ass Spider was not a sci-fi movie. It just happened to premiere on sci-fi.
Okay.
Lavalantula is made for sci-fi and kind of feels like it. It's a little bit too campy, a little bit too cheap. The first half is okay. By the time we get into the second half, and I won't spoil the things that happen, it's all a little bit too ironic. Just like, wouldn't it be funny if we did this? Well, no, but okay. It's not terrible. It's fun enough. Nia Peoples looks amazing. And I on paper, I like the idea that he just decided to use a bunch of people from Police Academy in his cast. Right. I think it works better on paper than it does in practice. So again, I think it's funny that there's somebody out there who gets a chance to make a movie and is like, well, what if I just use a bunch of people from Police Academy and don't necessarily call attention to it? He just does.
Right.
And that's a funny idea. Again, I don't.
Are there Police Academy in jokes?
Not that I noticed. Surely there had to be some. Michael Winslow does do sound effects.
Wow. Yeah.
But Laverne, what's her name? Like, never says freeze dirtbag or anything like that. And Leslie Easterbrook is not in it for very long. I saw Jupiter Ascending finally.
Oh, I still haven't seen it.
Anyway,
yeah,
let's talk about the next movie.
That's a bummer.
Crushing.
Yeah.
Just crushing. That's because, again, we are both big Cloud Atlas fans.
Yes.
I know the movie is polarizing. I get it. I understand why you don't like it, but I also understand why people love it. And what I love about it almost more than anything else is just kind of how much the Wachowskis put themselves out there.
Absolutely.
And really kind of, and you know, Tom Tykwer too, take some big risks in terms of just how kind of nakedly emotional and optimistic they're going to be and in the structure. And they take some big chances. It turns a lot of people off. I get it. And so I was excited about Jupiter Ascending. It's like, here's them doing original science fiction. They're really, okay. None of it worked except for it's great to look at.
Okay.
But I wouldn't even say that it's particularly like well photographed. It's not that it's badly photographed, but it's never are they doing shots where you're like, oh my gosh, that was so cool or whatever. The story makes no sense. The one thing that I kind of appreciate is that they really just double down on how unbelievably nerdy science fiction fantasy it is.
Okay.
All those elements are there, and they're not apologizing for it, and they're not trying to make it more palatable to kind of mainstream audiences. I mean, this goes all the way in. Now, having said that, none of it works because they just don't have the time to make any of it work. They don't have the tools to make it work. I don't know why. I can't think of anything in the movie that I would say, oh, this is really good. It was the subject of a recent episode, maybe the most recent episode of How Did This Get Made? And I think Jason Mantzoukas or Paul Scheer, one of them pointed out that like it is a weird movie because it at once seems to be speeding through so much exposition in such a race to tell you so much and to do so much, and yet it feels like the longest movie ever made because it's so dull.
How long is it?
It's like just over 2 hours, but feels more like seven.
The trailer makes it feel like seven.
Yeah. I mean, my hopes were not up based on the trailer. My hopes were not up when they pushed the movie back from last summer to February.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe I needed to see it on a big screen. I don't know how much difference it would have made.
Okay.
It was a bummer.
That is a bummer.
It was. And the last movie I'll talk about quickly is a movie I watched on Amazon Prime Instant Video called Giuseppe Makes a Movie. And it's a documentary by Adam Rifkin about the actor Giuseppe Andrews. Are you familiar with Giuseppe Andrews?
I don't know.
Have you seen Cabin Fever?
I have.
He's Deputy Party in Cabin Fever.
Okay.
He's in Never Been Kissed. He's in Detroit Rock City.
Okay.
You'd recognize him and stuff. He's a giant weirdo. And eats the same thing every single day. It's like a can of sardines, a little bit of tofu, and some green tea, and that's it. He never deviates. He's like Crispin Glover levels of weird, and lives in a trailer park with his dad, where he makes these crazy movies on VHS with the residents of the trailer park, with local homeless people, schizophrenics, Vietnam veterans. I mean, more than once in this movie, he's literally cleaning the shit out of his actor's ass because he's this older guy who just keeps shitting his pants. And Giuseppe Andrews is cleaning the shit off of him. And it's a fascinating look at this guy who in so many instances would make me crazy.
Yeah.
Because I want to say like, oh, he's trying so hard to be so weird and so wet. But no, he just is legitimately this weird guy. And that becomes charming. The little community that he's built for himself kind of reminded me of Ed Wood, where it's this family of misfits that come together to make this art that doesn't seem very good, but it almost doesn't matter. It's just, you know, he's not making my kind of movies. There is an audience for these kinds of movies. I would probably compare it to like some of Harmony Korine stuff.
Got it.
And that's not for me. Doesn't mean it's not for someone. Right. And I'm sure there is an audience for this kind of weird outsider art. So I really enjoyed the documentary.
I'm sorry, what's it called?
Giuseppe Makes a Movie. And he's been making a bunch of these, I guess. Yeah. And I don't know if he still does like bigger movies or if he has intentionally just kind of dropped out. But it's definitely worth a look, I think.
That sounds great.
Yeah, I kind of dug it. So, you want to talk about Man with the Golden Gun? All right. So we haven't talked about James Bond in a while. The last one we did was Casino Royale. It's been a while.
Yeah. Yes.
And do you want to? I'll go first. Okay.
Please.
Like I said, we were going to talk about somebody else's first Bond, but Christopher Lee died, and he, of course, plays Scaramanga, the man with the golden gun of the title, the villain, often considered one of the best Bond villains inside what is often considered one of the worst Bond movies.
Yeah.
We did Live and Let Die about a year ago because it was last June. And I went on and on about, yeah, it was during June's exploitation. I went on and on about how much I do not like Live and Let Die.
Right.
And so this is the follow-up. This is Roger Moore's second outing as Bond. And I have often considered this my guilty pleasure Bond.
Yes, me too.
I don't know if I still can.
Same here.
So is it just us watching? So we'll jump to this. Because I was positive I was going to have so much fun with this. And I didn't have as much fun as I remembered having.
I have a theory.
Okay. Well, you have to be watching all of the Bonds?
Yes.
So that's what I was going to say. Yes. Is it just a function of sort of watching it from this like decontextualized place where I haven't watched any Bonds and then I watch this and it's just, it's too hard to jump into something that is a bad version of the thing that's good. And so if I had watched a bunch of other Bond movies leading up to this, maybe I would have more fun with it.
Sure. Yes, I think so. I mean, that's what I thought for myself because, you know, when I watched a lot of these, especially the Roger Moore ones, when I watched them for the first time, it was I started from Dr. No and worked my way up. So I was so just obsessed and happy to be in in the James Bond world that even though, you know, I was not a fan of so much of the Roger Moore ones, I almost didn't care because it was James Bond.
Right.
And at the time,
it's like Star Trek.
This
is a bad Star Trek episode. I don't care. I'm watching Star Trek.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. I was just excited to be in the world. This is new Bond to me. So, I had the exact same reaction and I always thought, you know, leading up to when I rewatched it the other night that it was sort of like one of my guilty pleasure.
Yeah.
Bonds, but I really didn't hit with me this time.
So what was it, you think?
Probably a number of things. One of the things I just don't like Roger Moore's version of James Bond.
Never.
I don't like the silliness and the attempts at humor. They almost always fall flat and pull me out of whatever moment is on the screen. I didn't love him beating women.
Loved it when Daniel Craig did
okay,
it.
Okay, right, hold on.
That's weird.
It's not to justify the beating of women, but there's some like Roger Moore's Bond.
Yeah.
It's way more out of play. It felt so much more jarring to me.
Okay. So when you feel like this guy regularly beats women, then you're like, yeah, all right.
Yeah, I'm going to skip that.
I'm on board. But when it's like, wait, why are you?
No, I'm not. I just, I don't know.
No, I'm gonna skip that part altogether. Listen, neither of us are advocating the beating of women or the portrayal of the beating of women, by a hero. So that disclaimer aside, and I would hope that people who listen to the show understand that neither of us would ever, ever, ever say anything like that. So that disclaimer aside,
thank you.
I understand where you're coming from in terms of Daniel Craig plays Bond as a brute. And so while you don't condone the way that he treats some of the female characters, it's part of that, the way he's playing Bond.
Thank you.
And when Roger Moore beats a woman, you assume it's because he's had another attack of Alzheimer's.
I shouldn't have picked
shit his pants.
I shouldn't have picked him beating the women, but that was the most jarring to me.
Yeah, for
admittedly
sure.
To me, but like
he does it in Live and Let Die too, doesn't he?
Yeah. I just know,
and I know that's a holdover from like the Fleming novels and Sean Connery kind of. I mean, that's a thing with Bond. It's like,
well,
it's fucked up.
Right. In the Fleming novels, he's
right.
That's the version of James Bond that Ian Fleming wrote, and it's not. You know,
that's so weird.
It's
because
super
we both
weird.
Love
and
these
just,
Bond movies, and
exactly.
We're so opposed to
and
that.
And it feels even weirder when Roger Moore does it. I'm just gonna. You know what I mean. What Patrick said is what I'm.
Well, listen, and I every one of these Bond shows I talk about. There's no right answer in terms of what your favorite Bond is,
right.
or what your least favorite Bond is, because we all want something different from a Bond movie. And I think you and I are pretty much coming from the same place in that we tend to like the slightly more grounded, realistic, kind of action spy movie version of Bond and less the kind of silly shit that it became in the 70s, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And I like silly shit sometimes. Like, I can watch You Only Live Twice, and I have a decent enough time with that movie. Like, it's the right kind of silly, and maybe it's just a function of the period. What 60s silly is acceptable to me, whereas 70s silly isn't, you know? Because I can watch the underground volcano layer in You Only Live Twice and people flying in on helicopter packs and be like, no, that's just a James Bond movie. And then we get to Moonraker, and I'm like, fuck this. What is this? And I always thought, for whatever reason, that the silliness in Man with the Golden Gun was the one that I excused.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, for some reason this time, it was almost like there wasn't enough of it. Watching it this time, I'm like, oh, there's so many dead spots. There are long stretches, and then one thing will happen, and I'll be like, oh, yeah, that's okay, that was something that I liked. But then long stretches of nothing again. You know what I mean?
What did you like? Can you think of?
Well, listen, honestly, I think a big part of it is I like Christopher Lee.
Oh, he's fantastic. It takes him like an hour to say anything.
Yeah.
But once he does, yes, he's great.
He's the best, right?
He is.
He's great. And I like Maude Adams and Britt Eklund, mm-hmm. right? And even that is wrong because Britt Eklund is one of the worst Bond girls. I love her. She's adorable.
She is.
But she's like
useless.
Daffy and not even useless. She's like, she's a problem. Yeah. It's not even just like she doesn't serve a function. She almost is actively sabotaging the mission with her uselessness.
Right.
And that's a problem. Again, when we point to all of our favorite Bond women, they tend to be the ones who are stronger, more independent, call James Bond out on his shit. At least those are the ones that I like. I know you like the ones who Daniel Craig pushes around. But I was talking about this after I saw Mission Impossible, because the female lead in that, Rebecca Ferguson, is awesome and just so great and capable and every bit Ethan Hunt's equal. And it's like, yeah, if she was a Bond girl, we would all be saying, like, she's the best Bond girl. And
is she the psychic?
She's the psychic.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, then I'm
she
sure I'll like
does it. Not kill anyone in a sleeping bag. That weirdly enough, it happens off screen, and it's Alec Baldwin. Spoilers for Mission Impossible. So we get to Britt Eklund in Man with the Golden Gun, and she's the exact opposite of all of those qualities that I'm championing. And yet, I'm just like, but she's so
cute, but
cute
doesn't
and
she
like
have,
fun.
But doesn't she at one point flat out tell James that she's weak?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and that's like, really, Roger Moore is going to be the capable one of the two of them. Like, that's even more problematic. I think they're both so stunning, and both of them seem to be in a better movie, even though Britt Eklund is in the garbage movie that she's in. But it's like if Goldie Hawn was a Bond girl, you know, it's like, well, she's in this fun Bond movie. So I like them. I don't know. I like the theme song. and I shouldn't, because it's like one of the worst theme songs.
Yeah, I don't think I do.
For whatever reason, this is the one where I can excuse a lot of shit that other Bond movies, I'm like, no, terrible Bond girl. No, terrible theme song. I like the song. It's so dumb. It's so dumb. And that's the thing that, I think differentiates some of the Roger Moore movies from some of the other like later period Sean Connery. There's a difference, I think, between silly and stupid. And I think some of the Sean Connery definitely get kind of silly, even Goldfinger. Like, that's kind of silly.
Yeah.
But they do it with a straight face, and they know the thing that they're making. And Roger Moore, it's just, like, dumb. It's just dumb.
Yeah.
And the song by Lulu is dumb. And the lyrics are so dumb and on the nose. And just, like, he'll shoot anyone with his gun. Like, oh, because they rhyme. The words rhyme. So many Bond songs, by the way, if you ever have a chance, just listen to all the themes back to back, because I like any Bond theme that starts with the word he. And a lot of them do. So this one is all about he, and they're singing about Scaramanga, and the lyrics are just so dumb, and she's shouting the whole thing. But I like the energy of it. It's almost like a parody of a Bond theme. And for whatever reason,
that's great.
I dig it. It's garbage. I'm not saying it's good, but I enjoy it. And oddly enough, Alice Cooper.
I was just going to bring that up.
Okay.
He wrote one.
Did you listen to the song?
I have heard it, yes.
Do you like it?
I like it more than the Lulu one.
For the movie?
Maybe. I'm not arguing it's great.
Okay.
But yeah, I really don't like.
Again, I make this distinction. Like, sometimes the better song isn't better for the movie.
I understand that.
But because I was listening to it, and I was like, I would not have liked this for the movie. And yet it's a better song. I recognize that.
Right.
And, weirdly enough, I thought it sounded a lot like Another Way to Die from Quantum of Solace, which I really like. So go figure, where years later, I'm like, okay, now they can do this. But if Alice Cooper had done it during Man with the Golden Gun, I would have been like, no.
It's been a while since I've heard it, but he has like the Bond horns and stuff in there too, doesn't he?
Am
I making that up? Maybe I'm making that up.
They might come in later in the song. I don't think I listened all the way through to the end.
Okay.
I got through at least a chorus, and I was like, well, this sounds like Another Way to Die. And I wouldn't have liked it for the movie. Again, Lulu, it's like bad imitation Shirley Bassey.
Yeah.
And the lyrics are just so dumb. They're so dumb. The dialogue is really stupid. And again, we both fucking hate Roger Moore. People love Roger Moore. He's their favorite Bond.
Absolutely.
I recognize this. It depends on which one you grew up with. It depends on what interpretation of the character you like, right?
But I feel like he's the one.
He's fucking garbage.
Well, he is. I feel like he's the one I grew up with. I feel like
he is for me.
Yeah, like he's the one who's.
He was Bond in the 80s, right. You know, when especially early 80s. Again, View to a Kill is the Bond movie that I grew up on, because that and Never Say Never Again.
Right.
And I couldn't even wrap my head around idea that, like, what? These are what? What's Thunderball? What?
Right.
But those were the two that played on HBO when I was of that age, when I was really absorbing all this stuff. So View to a Kill is the one that I saw the most growing up.
And I'm scared because as we sit here, I feel like I kind of like View to a Kill, but I'm afraid to eventually do that podcast. Cause
it's Man with the Golden Gun. It's fucking garbage, and I have a soft spot for it, but it's garbage.
Okay.
And he's so fucking old.
Well, right. That I remember.
He's the worst. Anyway, he's the worst in this movie, too. So, what, you know, some of these, the villains in the Bond films, they have their quirks, right? So, Le Chiffre in Casino Royale, your boy?
Yeah.
Bleeds from the eye, right?
Correct.
Okay. What are some others?
You have, I don't know why I always think of this guy, but the guy in, Die Another Day, your favorite, with the glass.
Yes. The diamonds in his face.
There are diamonds, yes. That's what it is.
What's his name from World Is Not Enough? Can't Feel Pain?
Oh, yeah.
What is that guy's name? Robert Carlyle, but I can't remember the villain's name.
I can't either.
Anyway, Scaramanga's is that he has a third nipple. It's like they're not even trying.
Right. So do you think... Okay, because this was driving me nuts the whole movie. Do you think... they gave him the third nipple just because it's an easy way for Bond to later imitate him? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, probably. I don't know. And again, I'm assuming this is a thing that came from the Fleming book. It's time for my regular disclaimer. I have not read the Fleming book.
I have not either.
Nor any of the Fleming books. But if you are looking for a book recommendation, everyone, Midnight Movie by Toby Hooper. So I know the book took place in Jamaica.
Okay.
And they changed it because they're like, well, we did Jamaica. We did it in Live and Let Die. We did it in Dr. No. And they eventually settled on the Philippines. And so this ends up being Kung Fu Bond, which is interesting because it's coming right after Blaxploitation Bond.
I was just going to say, yeah.
So I like the idea that in the 70s, they're following exploitation trends, because then we get to Sci-Fi Bond by the end of the 70s. I just wish it was happening in better movies. And the one good one that they made in the 70s, there might have been. Is there just the one good
Spy
one?
Love Me?
Yeah. Is the one that doesn't try to do that.
Right.
Right. It just is like a straightforward Bond movie. Were there any good, besides that, were there any good ones in the 70s?
No.
No? Because Diamonds Are Forever is the 70s too, right?
Yeah.
And that's, I don't think, shitty.
Yeah.
That's not a good one.
There's such a lazy attempt, by the way, at a kung fu movie too.
Because it's Roger Moore.
Right, right.
Fucking dude cannot be bothered to like chop or kick anyone. I am not a fighter. I am not physically fit. I'm not what you would call agile or flexible or capable. And yet I'm like, surely I could give a more convincing kick than pervy
You're
Uncle
right.
Roger.
It's just, he can't be bothered.
He cannot be bothered to do fucking anything except get pussy. That dude works harder than anyone. He immediately starts like going down on the belly dancer.
Yeah.
I just hate all the puns. Okay, so you bring up the scene where he imitates Scaramanga and he puts the third nipple on, which, by the way, is grossly right. discolored. It looks like they made it about 35 seconds before they rolled action.
It's not Q's best work.
No, it's really not. It's like they picked up something from craft services and like stuck it. It's, what is this? So that's how he proves he's Scaramanga. And then as he's walking out, we have to get the thing where he throws it away. And he says something like, he thought I was titillating. Mm-hmm. And he has to throw it away as he says that, because otherwise we won't even understand that it's a pun. But, oh, he's making a pun about tits because he just got rid of his third nipple. He's referring to his own chest as tits. That's his big pun. And he has tits.
And you know, like on the walk up there, as Q's like applying the nipple, he's like, oh my God, I'm going to use this later.
He couldn't even wait.
Also in that scene, I want to point out.
I hate that line of dialogue.
It's horrible. That poor Asian woman who is swimming, her name is Chumi.
Yeah.
Like, that's... Yeah.
That's some Austin Powers shit. It really is.
It
like
is.
This
like,
is what
Bond,
they're making.
Like, oh, that's.
It's embarrassing.
Yeah, that one was.
Why did I like this movie? Why do I still kind of like parts of this movie? I like the shootout at the beginning. I like the Hall of Mirrors stuff. I think it's kind of fun.
Sure.
I still like the song. Love Maude Adams.
Yeah, no, I love Maude.
Love Maude Adams.
Yeah,
yeah. And yet she would come back for one of my least favorite Bond movies, Octopussy, which just bores me to fucking tears. Maybe when we come back to it, I'll like it more. I've liked this one less than I thought I did.
Right.
This, I thought, was the bad Bond that I loved. So what is the new bad Bond that I love? What's your new favorite bad Bond?
I don't know. Maybe, I feel like I like View to a Kill, but maybe I'm afraid...
It's pretty bad, but maybe it is it. Maybe that's it. I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know.
You know what I really like, though? I like the sunken ship that they use as their like secret headquarters.
Okay.
I thought that was neat.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, it was felt very Bondy. And...
Yeah. And there's one moment, like a street fight, where Bond is being escorted by the two younger girls. And he says something like, girls, you know, be on your way or whatever.
Oh, and they start whooping ass.
And they start whooping
yeah,
ass.
That was great.
And that feels progressive.
Agreed.
In this movie.
Agreed.
Where it does not have a high opinion of women, and yet it says, well, these two can fight.
Right.
So that's cool.
I agree.
And that's some of the best kung fu in the movie, because they're not lazy pieces of shit.
Because he's off to the side.
So let's talk about our favorite element of the movie.
Okay.
A little guest appearance. By our favorite character in the Bond series.
Knick-knack?
Not Knick-knack.
Okay.
Whose name I can never remember. I'm always like, tip-top. Nick, fuck shit. Little fuck shit. Yeah, that's kind of rock bottom in terms of the gimmicky sidekick, right? Like,
sure.
It was like, we did our job. Oh, well, now we got to keep this up. Shit. All right. As the henchmen go, little fuck shit is near the bottom of the list. I feel like
I was trying to work on an impression
on your Hervé Villechaize.
I can't do it
again. Cashing in on a certain was Fantasy Island on the air?
I thought it was like pre Fantasy Island. I could be wrong, but
if it was pre, then I guess I give them a little credit. Do you think that's what got him the gig? We loved you. It's fuck shit. When
you brought the Tabasco
James
sauce.
Bond humiliatingly stuffs you inside of a fucking luggage compartment or something, like that sets back little people's rights. Not that that's a movement, but you know what I mean. It's just like we're working so hard now in 2015 to be like everybody's equal. And then literally just stuffing him in fucking bread boxes and shit. Like you're tiny, you don't pose a threat, little fuck shit.
Thank you, Dinklage, for bringing it back, by the way.
Pepper.
Oh, my God.
Buford T. Pepper. What's his name?
J.W.
Pepper.
Oh, my
it's
God.
It's like someone sat down. And I know Tom Mankiewicz wrote the first draft of the script and also had written Live and Let Die, and it was not good. And I think finally had kind of had it with Guy Hamilton. This was the last Bond movie that Guy Hamilton directed as well. And had kind of had it, and so they went their separate ways, and Tom Mankiewicz was rewritten. I don't know what he is responsible for and what he's not. So I don't know if it was his idea. I feel like some people sat down and they said, what was the worst thing about Live and Let Die? Well, Roger Moore, obviously. No, we already got him. What's the next worst thing about Live and Let Die?
And I was going to ask you about that. Like, it's to me, it stands to reason that the only reason to bring him back is because... dare I say, I don't know the answer to this. Was he popular? Did people enjoy that character?
I don't know.
That you would...
Yeah.
There's no reason to bring him.
No. Did the actor playing him have photos of Guy Hamilton...
With knick-knack.
With little fuck shit. He's the worst. He might be the worst in the series.
Yeah, because
what is the lower point?
I don't think there is one, because not only is he horribly racist,
yeah,
unfunny, that voice, that goddamn voice, so he's yelling. He serves no. I mean, he's the comic relief, I guess that would be his purpose, but he doesn't.
I feel like his appearance in this is actually even worse than Live and Let Die, because Live and Let Die, you cut them a little slack because they're like, well, they're trying something, it didn't work, but
right.
But the idea that they deliberately brought him back to me is inexcusable. Like, you had a chance to not do it.
Right.
You had seen what happened the first time, and his appearance gives way to maybe the worst moment in the movie, which is when they jump the car. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. The car jump itself is not...
No, that's not the issue.
No.
That's not the problem. Is what?
That sound effect.
The slide whistle.
The slide whistle. Yes. Yeah.
Holy shit! Like, yeah. Why are we trying? Why am I supposed to take any of this?
Because that
seriously,
stunt
if you just slide whistled,
that stunt was fantastic.
Why make it funny?
No, I don't know.
Why does it have to be goofy?
It was a mistake.
The only thing that it's missing is like Roger Moore shitting his pants, but that's because he already had pants full of shit.
I was gonna say I don't know that didn't happen. To be fair. No, it was...
He's old!
Sorry.
I wanted to be so positive about this movie. I was excited to do this movie, because I was like, this is the shitty Bond movie that I like, that we can come on, and I can be like, yeah, but it's fun, and it's goofy, and I'm not going to suggest that anyone else like it, but here's why I like it. And it turns out, I'm just like, well, Britt Eklund is cute in a bikini, and I like the garbage song at the beginning. So the only thing it has going for it is Christopher Lee. Seriously?
Yeah. Even he's like, to me, underused.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure.
Because he was fantastic. But this is a glimpse of what it's like to be friends with you. Where I'm like, no, Pearl Jam's not the worst. Like, just... And then, you know, after a while, I'm like, God, maybe he's right. Like this.
Listen, made all these I do not decisions. Try to force my opinions.
It's a gift.
On others.
Right.
I have never sat here and said, here's why you shouldn't like Pearl Jam. Because I don't even have feelings about Pearl Jam. I harass you about liking Pearl Jam for no reason. For no reason.
Yeah, you harassed me. Patrick once harassed me about liking the Rolling Stones, and he likes the Rolling Stones.
I do.
But he, jokes were coming fast
the other day,
and furious.
I was hanging out with Erica. We're in the car. I think Mysterious Ways came on the radio, and I go, oh, is Mike's phone ringing? That joke is for no one. Erica didn't even know what I was talking about.
Yep.
I'm giving you shit when you're not there for no reason. It's like, I can't help myself. I cannot help myself. So I do not try to force my opinions. Unless it's when I'm like, you should read this new book by Toby Hooper. It's called Midnight Movie. So how is this a glimpse into what it's like to be friends with me? I didn't change your mind about Man with the Golden Gun.
No, but I had these positive feelings about Man with the Golden Gun until actually like...
I didn't do that.
Having to do this. But no,
The movie did that.
You're right. You're right.
Blame
you're
right. Roger Moore.
I'm just... Usually when I go from liking something to questioning it or not liking it, it's usually you're somehow...
Have you ever stopped liking something because I gave you a hard time about it?
No. I mean, I haven't had like an Adam Green Lantern...
Again, that was a little bit me.
Well, but I feel like I helped you.
Oh, yeah, no, for sure. But that was just us pointing out things in the movie. We weren't even saying like, no, Adam, don't like it. We're just saying like, oh, yeah, what's with this? And he's like, oh, yeah, no, that movie's not good. Again, that's the movie doing
that.
No,
I'm telling you guys, it's pretty good.
He had seen it twice in a day.
Oh my, I forgot about that. Did he really?
Oh yeah, yeah. He had already seen it twice by the time we recorded it. It might not have been in the same day.
Oh, that makes me feel bad. He really wanted to like...
Sure, listen. I wanted to like Man with the Golden Gun. I thought I liked it. What the hell happened? Anything else that you like about it?
No, I keep going back to that ship. Again, I'm trying to think of something we haven't mentioned. Christopher Lee, but again, I feel he was underused.
Okay. It was one of the least successful Bond movies, I think, at the time, or maybe still.
I believe it is still. I believe it's that and one of the Dalton ones, right?
That's making my blood boil. It had to be Licensed to Kill, I would think, because if Living Daylights was a bomb, they would not have... Right? I mean, maybe. They wouldn't have been like, yeah, let's keep going.
But I don't know that any of them were...
None of them bombed.
Right.
But yeah, they just didn't make as much money as they... Right. By the way, one of the most successful ones, Moonraker. So there's no fucking accounting for taste.
Right, exactly.
Anywhere in the world.
Right.
Having said all this, like, Man with the Golden Gun is probably still, my second or third favorite Roger Moore. I would take this over Live and Let Die. I still would take this over Moonraker, over Octopussy. Possibly over View to a Kill. The only one that might... I mean, obviously, Spy Who Loved Me, I think, is still the best. And
I'm nervous to watch Spy Who Loved Me.
It's a little bit boring, but, like, it's so much better. Okay. It's so much better than these other goofy fucking movies. And, again, that's the thing that works about it, is that they seem to say, like, oh, this is dumb, what we're doing. Let's just try to make a real movie. And Roger Moore kind of takes it seriously. Once you get past all the rear projection skiing in the opening moments... By the way, I love the theme song to Spy Who Loved Me also. It doesn't hurt, Carly Simon.
Oh, right.
So good.
I'm with you there.
So once you get past that, it's like pretty straightforward and pretty good. And again, presents him with a female counterpart who is his equal and is not Britt Eklund, you know?
Yep.
So aside from that, the only other one that might edge out Man with the Golden Gun would be For Your Eyes Only.
Oh, I feel like I like For Your Eyes Only.
So I had never seen it.
It's been a long time
since. I had never seen it. And in the run up to Quantum of Solace, I marathoned all of the Bond movies. Right. And that was my first viewing of For Your Eyes Only. And again, because it was coming off of all of the 70s,
yes.
It was like, oh, they're trying to take this seriously and they're making a real movie. And there's a lot of good stuff in that. But there's also all the stuff with Lynn Holly Johnson as the ice skater who wants to have sex with her grandfather. Her grandfather is played by Roger Moore, and he's James Bond. And there's also the Blofeld opening where he gets dropped.
That one is amazing.
Like that gives the slide whistle a run for its money, and it might even edge it out because of how much it shits on Bond canon.
Yeah, well,
you know what I mean? The slide
right,
whistle,
exactly.
It's like, hey, listen, it's over. We've all moved on. We've forgotten the slide whistle by the time Britt Eklund shows up. But
this is Blofeld.
It's Blofeld, and they can't say his name. I think legally they weren't allowed to use his name, so they don't. You don't see his face. He's just an actor pretending to be Donald Pleasance or maybe Telly Savalas, and then gets picked up and dropped into a volcano. Or it's not a volcano, but
I just remember him being dropped into
like a little hole that he shouldn't. Anyway, it's so bad. But then from there, the movie's like pretty good, you know, and it has Roger Moore at his wife's grave, and like there's actually some continuity there.
Yep.
So that might be my second favorite, but I still feel like Man with the Golden Gun is like pretty high. Why? I'm not saying positive things about it. Why is it still better than some of these other movies?
Because that says a lot about the other movies.
You think that's all it is?
Right? Well, what else could it be?
I don't know, because what does Moonraker have going for it? I don't know. Like, there's times where I find Moonraker... Oh, so, For Your Eyes Only, yeah. Like, when I watched it, I was like, this is pretty good. And then I rewatched it about a year ago and liked it way less. Doesn't mean it's not good, because for whatever reason, it seems like I change on a lot of these. Every time I come back to one, my feelings about it are a little bit different. It goes up, it goes down. And I kind of think that happens to a lot of people. I don't know. I've been accused of that happening too much to me. Somebody once in the comments recently made a joke, and it's fine, it was just a joke, like, yeah, Bromley comes around on everything he watches, like, and that's not true, but my opinions do kind of shift, and I would hope that that would be true of all of us.
I was gonna say, that's probably,
if you just have the one opinion and it's always the one opinion, there's gonna be stuff that we're always gonna love,
you know?
I'm never gonna like start liking Back to the Future less,
right,
or start to see problems in it or whatever. There may be stuff that you always hate, but a lot of that stuff in the middle, depending on where your head's at, depending on what else you've seen, it may shift, you know? And that has happened to me with this Bond series. Things go way up. Living Daylights, you know, goes way up. Man with the Golden Gun, apparently way down.
Right.
Way down. What we should be doing, really, throughout this whole thing is just having a constant ranking of all, 23 Bond movies?
Yeah.
And at the end of each one of these, like, talking about where it... where this movie has shifted in the rankings, because I don't know where it would have been, but I feel like it's definitely dropping some spots.
It definitely did for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a bummer.
Sorry.
Yeah. It's okay.
That's the movie's fault.
But I feel like, assuming we do Honor Majesty's Secret Service next, it'll be nice to get positive about a Bond movie again. Even though it's George Lazenby.
Who's not the worst.
No, I don't think so.
But so not the best.
No.
He just fits the suit. And the suit they give him is that weird, he's literally wearing the Austin Powers costume, like, for a lot of the movie, which is not great. But I want to keep talking about Man with the Golden Gun for a couple more minutes, because I feel like I've monopolized this conversation, and I don't mean to.
No, please.
Do you want to weigh in on Knick Knack, or... Chew Me.
I feel like I've said everything I can say about Chew Me.
Yeah, she's memorable. Again, this movie hates women.
I know. I felt terrible for her. No.
And what is his response? I don't even know. It's probably just something like...
I don't remember exactly what it is, but yes, he is.
Something sleazy, oddly enough?
Yes, yeah. It is something sleazy.
Because he only has pussy on the brain.
Because I remember in the moment she says her name is Chew Me, for a brief second I thought like, oh, maybe he's going to let it go. But no.
Wouldn't that be so great if Bond was just like, nice to meet you, Chew Me. Right. And then keeps walking.
Nice to meet you, Miss Me. But yeah, oh, that didn't happen.
Okay. Here's something we should probably talk about as we discuss how this movie is pretty misogynistic. And all the Bond movies are. It's not like somehow Man with the Golden Gun is way worse. But... when it's not presenting any strong female characters, at least some of these other movies present a strong female character. We did not talk about the scene where he makes out with Britt Eklund and then shoves her in a closet so he can fuck Maude Adams while she waits.
Yes.
And then gets out and immediately forgives him and wants to fuck him.
She says when she says she's weak?
Maybe.
Was that maybe right before that? I feel like it's in that scene. But yeah.
No, if she doesn't say it, it's certainly implied.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's disgusting.
It is disgusting.
That's a disgusting scene. Because, so there's a movie that came out a couple years ago called He's Just Not That Into You. Mm-hmm. Did you see it?
No.
Okay. It's not great. Mm-hmm. That same scenario kind of plays out, and yet the response of the person who comes out of the closet afterwards is one of rage and like, you piece of shit, what is wrong with you? How could you do that? Right. Yeah. Not just like, I forgive you because you're Roger Moore, and how could I not? Mm-hmm. What's the last line of this movie?
Of this movie?
Yeah. The last Roger Moore. I mean, the last line of every Bond movie is like, that's another thing we should rank all the time. Like, rank the final lines of Bond movies.
Oh, isn't it like
he stuffs him in the thing.
Right, and then I think like he is on the phone trying to talk to Miss Goodnight, and you just keep hearing over the phone like, Goodnight, Goodnight, and then Bond says, Goodnight, and then hangs up. Isn't that it?
No, yeah, that sounds right.
But he makes some comment, like when Bond picks up the phone initially and they ask to speak to her, I believe he says something like, she's coming. Something disgusting like that.
I hate all the sex puns, right?
Yeah.
And Roger Moore is...
it's so much worse.
But Pierce Brosnan has way too many of them too. And that's another thing that I've kind of been discovering as we've been working our way through these, is like how much the Brosnan Bonds have in common
with the
Roger Moore.
For sure. Like,
how did I not know that? Why in the 90s was I like, no, Roger or Pierce Brosnan bringing shit back old school, like back to basics. No, man, he's doing fucking Roger Moore.
Yeah.
Why did I not know that?
I don't know. Where were you to tell me? I didn't know either.
What was wrong with us?
I don't know.
Are we stupid?
I was eating a lot of the Brosnan stuff up at the time.
If we were ranking last Bond lines, Christmas comes once again.
Yeah, that's right at the bottom.
Right at the bottom. Right at the bottom. It's easy enough.
Yeah.
Gosh, Man with the Golden Gun? No, nothing else?
By the way, what's the greatest last line?
I don't know.
Casino Royale.
The bitch is dead?
No. No.
That's not how that movie ends?
Bond, James Bond.
Oh, yeah, right.
Come on, that's fucking... And then they break into the theme.
All right.
It's so great.
It's good.
No, that's great.
It's okay.
No, it's great.
Here's why it's great. Because up until then,
I said it's great.
I didn't know who it was.
God damn you!
It was
don't
like
ruin
a,
it.
It was a reveal.
This is what I'm talking about.
It was.
Don't you?
Wait a second. That's James Bond. I've been watching the new James Bond movie.
I thought this was Layer Cake 2. Dare you?
Yeah. No, that's good. That's fine.
Yeah.
It's all very exciting.
It really is. Because he says it, then they bomb, and then the...
And again, so I'm fascinated because I just recently, and I can't remember where I read it, somebody was like, oh yeah, Skyfall was like a real shit fest. And that's amazing to me because I really like Skyfall.
I love Skyfall.
Everybody's different, right? Everybody wants something different. I don't know if Man with the Golden Gun is anyone's favorite Bond movie. Surely it's someone's favorite Bond movie. I know when he...
Knicknacks.
Listen... He is no longer with us.
Sorry,
so let us not speak ill.
I was working on it.
Mr. Villachez. Christopher Lee is gone. Herve Villachez is gone. Roger Moore still breathing. Motherfucker. Listen, I'm not praying for the death of Roger Moore, anyone. Truly, I'm not. But the dude has shit to answer for.
He's like a war criminal.
He can't be. It's not entirely his fault. They cast him. They decided this was the direction they wanted the series to go in. But they were wrong. These monsters. Wait, no, I was just going to say something. And it's gone. No, nothing.
I'm tapped the fuck out.
We all want something different. Somebody recently, Entertainment Weekly. I don't know. Somebody did a poll, and you know, every time a new Bond movie comes out, everybody does their ranking of all the Pixar movies, Marvel movies, Bond movies. Every right. time we get a new one, it's like, let's re-rank them. Well, it's probably going to be pretty similar to the last one, guys. But except the new one is going to be slotted in somewhere, right? And a lot of times the new one ends up way too high on the list, especially with Marvel. It's just like, the most recent one I saw is the greatest one. No, let's calm down, everyone. Man with the Golden Gun typically ends up near the bottom, if not the bottom.
Oh, it's not the bottom for me, for sure.
No, because that's obviously Die Another Day, right? But I know I've seen rankings that do not have that at the bottom. I can't that's imagine crazy. That that's not just universally considered the worst Bond movie.
Doesn't Moonraker always...
Yeah, and it does not score high.
People do... But I also feel like people... There's a lot of people that do... I mean, there's a lot of people that probably like all these movies, but I mean... Moonraker in my head is always near the bottom, but...
It is some love. It is garbage. And yet, in recent years, I've softened on it a little bit. I don't like it more, but I appreciate it sort of as a product of its time, mm-hmm. which all of these movies are, obviously. Like, yeah. But, like, I don't know. Moonraker could really have only been made when it was made.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it has a scale to it that is entertaining to me.
Sure.
Even though they're, like, not in space that much.
It's like, you know, Jason Takes Manhattan.
Yeah. Like, and that comes right really after which Friday the 13th movie?
The best.
Okay, yeah, the new Blood, which have you been on since we recorded that 5th anniversary show?
No, I don't think so.
Because I feel like the thinking was that I had mischaracterized what you had said about Friday the 13th, part 7.
And like I said earlier,
have you gone back and listened?
No, I told you, I don't go, I can't.
You flat
because
out,
I say things like that.
More than once on that episode, I give you opportunity to change your mind, and so, you say 7 is your favorite.
Maybe it is. Maybe it, I'm also like...
Is it like the Bond series, where it's like every time you watch it, you're re-ranking the Fridays?
Maybe.
By the way, part 5... Number one with a bullet. It's just skyrocketing up to the top of my favorites list.
But I'm also like, when we do those marathons, I'm like, I'm delirious.
Oh, yeah, no, it sucks. So. That is not the way to watch anything ever.
Especially those movies. But
I had an easier time with those than almost any of the other series that we've done.
Yeah, maybe me as well.
I don't know. Those to me, like, they're all the same, but so what? Like,
yeah.
Of course they are. Nightmare on Elm Street bummed me out. Halloween was rough.
Texas Chainsaw was a little rough for me.
Well, because they get so bad. But yeah. Speaking of Texas Chainsaw Massacre, do you know that the director of Texas Chainsaw Massacre wrote a book?
Did he write a book?
It's called Midnight Movie.
I wish you would have mentioned
it. By the way, this book came out years ago. This is not news. I'm not being paid to talk about this book. I literally am just reading it right now and really enjoying it. I don't know if you guys know this. I'm a Toby Hooper fan. And so I'm really enjoying it. And so I want other people to read it. But back to the man with the golden gun.
I wish we'd never left.
Why does he have the golden gun again?
He's an assassin.
Right. Just a bit of a flourish?
Oh, I think so.
Yeah. Okay. Again, it just seems like it's a cool title.
It is, yeah.
Even though it's basically just Man with the Golden Arm. But it's just another one of these things. It's like the third nipple. It's just like, well, we gotta... We're constructing... the myth of a supervillain from the bottom up. So it's like, well, he has a golden gun and a third nipple. He's played by Christopher Lee. What else do you want? There's Roger Moore. Jack Palance apparently turned it down.
Oh, really?
He was offered Scaramanga originally.
Oh, that's
turned
fascinating.
It down. Yeah. And Christopher Lee...
Oh, I'm glad it's Christopher Lee.
Knew somebody was like somehow related to Fleming or married in or something.
Oh,
there's
like a cousin.
Yeah, there's some connection there and had been offered a role in an earlier Bond film that he couldn't do for some reason. I don't know. And so ended up playing the villain, and thank God he did. I like Jack Palance.
Yeah.
But he would not really have been Christopher Lee.
Right.
And now that he's gone, I suppose we should... talk about him a little. I would love to talk about our favorite Christopher Lee roles or performances. I don't even think I could because the guy did so much.
He did.
That.
And I'm, as it's been established on this website, I'm nothing if not completely unoriginal, but I love the Hammer stuff.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I think of when I think of Count Dooku.
Yes. Who doesn't, who among us doesn't love Dooku? And you love Saruman?
Yeah, no, for real.
Of course
Saruman,
you do.
Of course.
What do you not love in the Lord of the Rings films? Is there anything that you point to that you're like...
The last Hobbit movie?
Yeah. Just the last one? The other two are okay?
No, the first one I'm fine with. It's fine. The second one, I start making excuses, and I recognize that I just really wanted to like it, so I think I was making excuses for it, and by the third one... I was in the theater
Has there been a more boring 3-hour battle?
Probably
than
not.
That third movie. I don't know. People love it again. I can't get on board.
Do people love it?
Somebody does. The thing is, somebody loves every movie.
No, I know. That's true.
One of the things that I like about How Did This Get Made is that, and they do it usually, but they're mocking the people. But do you listen to that podcast?
I do.
Okay. So that when they do a second opinion, they go on Amazon and they read the 5-star reviews for these terrible movies that they've spent an hour making fun of. And that show is so good about pointing out things that I had never occurred to me. And obviously they're watching it with a specific eye for sort of internal logic. And I generally don't do that. Like, right. I just kind of let a movie wash over me a little bit. And so it's not like they're nitpicking, but they literally are applying a very specific logic. And so why does this, and it's fascinating to hear, because even if I like the movie that they're talking about, I'm like, hey, they make some great points. Right. Like, that doesn't make sense. Right. Their episode on Tango and Cash. Did you hear it?
I did.
It's incredible. And I love Tango and Cash, right. But the things they bring up, you're like, oh, right. This is the dumbest movie ever made. And I still love it. Right. Jack Palance, by the way, the villain in Tango and Cash. So where was I going? Oh, so 5-star reviews and people, there's somebody who loves every movie.
No, I know. And that's great.
It is.
It is. But I know. I wanted to love Hobbit movies, but I do not. And now I wish Guillermo, my buddy.
Yeah.
Had made.
Oh, his. Of course. Oh my gosh.
At the very least, I saw something where Peter Jackson talked about the designs that Guillermo did. He said were fantastic, but they didn't go with them because...
Yeah, why would they?
Well, with Peter Jackson...
They reshot the orc that they practically did
I understand.
Piece of CGI bullshit.
I understand. But I guess...
You understand did. What? That well, they did that no, or why they did that?
What you're saying.
Oh, got it. I thought you were going to say, like, you understand why they did it.
No, but I do understand wanting to keep a similar aesthetic to, you know, what Peter Jackson did with the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Nope.
So maybe going, no, I...
Nope. Go ahead.
I understand why...
What's that?
I'm not saying agree with it. And I wish they would, like, release a book of Guillermo's designs and stuff.
It would be infinitely better than the...
I think I agree.
Hobbit prequels. Man with the Golden Gun...
Yeah, sir.
Here's the thing. He has a powerful weapon... It costs how much? $1 million a shot?
Yeah, I think so.
What gold is this that he's...
I don't know.
He's not firing golden bullets, is he? The gun is gold. Are the bullets gold as well?
I think so, because the one that...
No, that makes sense. Yeah.
007 had.
Yeah, it was gold. So it's $1 million in gold? In the one bullet?
Yeah, but he only needs one bullet.
Right, but I guess I don't understand the value of gold. Maybe I'm misunderestimating the value of gold, because I'm almost positive that that much gold does not go for $1 million. What I'm doing now is I'm pointing out the inconsistencies in Lulu's song. The man with the golden gun.
Oh, no, I don't want you to turn on Lulu song.
No, I will not. I do like it.
Dude, you hold on to that.
That did not change. I know that the movie is bad and I used to like it, and now I know that the movie is bad and I kind of don't like it. I know that the song is bad, but I still kind of like it.
Well, good.
And we'll always have Maude Adams, and we'll always have Britt Eklund.
Yes.
And I can't wait to be done with Roger Moore, but we have so many. He made the most, didn't he?
Yeah.
He made the most Bond movies. What the fuck is that? So we have the most of his to do.
But we could step away for a while. Because we've done two of his.
We have to. We have to step away because I cannot do this again. So we'll do On Her Majesty's Secret Service.
Spectre.
Yeah. No, that's the. Okay. We got the. I mean, it'd be nice to squeeze one in before Spectre.
Yeah, that's fine. Then On Her Majesty's Secret Service.
Okay. So that's going to have to be like September because we lose all of October. You know this.
That's true.
By the way, that's coming up.
I know.
It's like 2 months away.
I know.
This is pretty exciting.
It's very exciting.
So we'll try to squeeze in On Her Majesty's Secret Service, and then we'll do Spectre. And let's try for the next one of these to actually have our ranking of 1 through 22. And it's going to change every show for me. My number one will change every show. Like, that's kind of how I'm not locking any of these in, because On Her Majesty's Secret Service was my favorite for a while. I don't know that it would be if you were to ask me tomorrow. I would probably say From Russia with Love.
That's so good.
It's great.
Yeah.
But then if you were also to say, like, hey, put on any Bond movie right now, do you know what I would put on?
Skyfall.
Living Daylights. No. Living motherfucking Daylights. I don't care if you hate it. You're not going to talk me out of it.
Don't hate it.
The way that I talk you out of liking Pearl Jam. but thanks for listening, everyone.
Thank you, guys.
I hope you guys enjoyed this. And if you love Man with the Golden Gun, we're sorry, but let's talk about it in the comments of this posting. As always, you can find our website at fthismovie.net. You can follow us on Twitter. We are at fthismovie. Like us on Facebook. Find us in the iTunes store. If you have not yet left a review, we would love it if you would, especially if it's a positive one. We so appreciate those of you who have taken the time to do that. I know that there's nothing in it for you, really. You know, it takes a few seconds. Leave a star rating, maybe leave a comment. I know there's nothing in it for you, but it does help our show, and it lets us know that hopefully you like what we're doing. We're on Instagram. You can follow us there. We're hopefully going to start putting out some more content on Instagram.
Because of F This Movie, I joined Instagram.
And how do you find it so far? Because I'm not really on it.
I follow F This Movie.
So you've seen Doug in front of places.
Doug in front of places. Okay. Game of Thrones.
Oh, no kidding.
And and my nephew, Mateo Lane. Check
him
out.
Yeah, absolutely. Comedian.
Yeah. That's about it.
That's it.
And the Chicago White Sox.
Well, of course.
Well, please.
Of course. It's just like pictures of bats and stuff, or what?
There are pictures of bats. I'm not going to lie.
Of course. Because you got to think of stuff to post. You're like, oh, only so many more days. Like, yeah, all right. That's what that bat hints. See, I know my shit.
You sure do.
Anyway, so you can find us on any of those platforms. You can email us at fthismoviepodcast@gmail.com. We love hearing from you guys. And that is it. Next week, I think our show is on The Breakfast Club, because that's the movie that I'm introducing. Reminder, August 11th at the Elk Grove Cinema in Elk Grove Village, Illinois. If you're around here, definitely come out to see The Breakfast Club. Come say hi afterwards so I get to meet you face to face. And so I think that's what our show is going to be, subject to change, of course. Anyway, thank you guys for listening, and we will talk to you next week.
Woo-hoo-hoo!